Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being on the line. Thank you for wanting to say anything that comes to your heart on the Dr. Copertino Show. Well, we're up again. You know, the weather's a little foggy here. My throat is a little foggy as well. But we're here, and we want you to know that we care about you. That's why we're up every Saturday on time to talk to you about life-giving, life-saving, and life-elevating topics. This morning we have on the show the topic of what kind of life should I be living? And we're going to talk about goals. Well, we know goals are an act of mercy and direction, and they're to life what the rudder is to a ship. So without goals, one cannot direct his life and, of course, have life purpose. So you're going to hear from myself and, of course, the illustrious Colonel Dr. Harrison on how goals can bless your life and, of course, help give you a purpose of living. Dr. Harris, are you on the line?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Copertino. And listening audience, I am on the line. How are you this morning?
Oh, just doing fine. Just wanting to make sure that we have something that's going to help any listener be better today than they were yesterday. And we know that can't happen unless they have a goal. A goal is something that can anchor your life as well as help lead your life. Colonel Harrison, I know you're a man of goals. I know you always talk about your plans and your hopes and your dreams, but they're anchored in a goal. How important should a goal be in a person's life?
A goal is very important in any person's life, Dr. Copertino, because a goal actually helps to lead to purpose, and purpose interchangeably. We have to have a goal to accomplish purpose, and so goal is the foundation of what one needs to be able to pursue and strive toward that which they like to obtain. So goal, in essence, is that which we fix our minds and our hearts on, that we have a desire to obtain. And that drives us out of complacency and out of mediocrity. And it gives us a feeling of self-worth because we set our eyes on a particular thing we want to achieve or accomplish, and that's basically what a goal is. And that helps to make us feel that life is worth living. It helps to increase our self-worth.
You know, and our self-worth is very important because if we don't feel worthy inside of perhaps living a life that should be contemplative, that should be healthy, living a life that should be an example, then we're not going to have any goals. We're just going to be getting up saying, you know, well, I think I'll do this. Well, I think I'll do that. That's not a goal. What do you think a goal is as far as anchoring?
Well, a goal in terms of anchoring, it really gives us the base or the anchor or the foundation that we need upon which to encourage us to step out, launch out, and pursue or seek that which we desire or hope to accomplish and or that which we desire or hope to be. So without a goal, then it's hard to hard for one to find a purpose. Without purpose, one must have a goal. They are sort of synonymous, and they go together. One must have both to bring value to their lives and self-worth to their lives, to feel that they're worth something, their life is worth living because they have a goal and they have a purpose. And so they have to have both to feel that they're worthy of something and to accomplish that which they seek to achieve.
That is so true. But, you know, in school, elementary, you have the junior high, you have senior high, and you have the colleges. I'm not talking to anyone that is talking about having goals. They're talking about getting out, making a lot of money. They're talking about wanting to have this fantastic family. They want to have this big home, drive the fancy car. But they're not talking about goals as a means to get those things. Why do you think that is the case? I mean, they're getting this so-called education, but they're coming out of high school, senior high, going to college with not one goal. You ask them, oh, my God, well, okay, you're in college. What are you majoring in? What is your minor? I don't know. I'll just find out as I go by. I don't know. Don't you think that's dangerous, Colonel Harrison?
It's very dangerous, Doc, because the simple principle of a goal should be taught first within the home by family. I remember distinctively years gone by, Mom used to give me chores, the rake the yard, cut the wood, whatever it was. And once I did that, then she would give me money to go to the movie theater. So my goal was to go to the movie theater, and so my purpose was to complete the work that my mother gave me to do so that I would be able to realize the goal, get the money, and go enjoy the movie theater. So for schools not to teach families, number one, have to teach that. And if families don't teach it, then those principles still should be taught in school. Because it's one thing to get education, but if you don't have no foundation, a basis for the education that will drive you toward having a goal or being goal-oriented and drive you toward having a purpose in life, the education really isn't going to benefit one that much.
No, it cannot, and that's why you're still hearing people talk about, oh, that's an educated fool, that's an educated idiot, that's an educated loser. Those are terms that we do hear, and I think they're on that concentrated statement because they know that the person probably has gone all the way to get an education, but he's out walking the street, he's out crawling on the street, he's out begging, he's out doing all kind of things. That doesn't show that, you know, he has the education to live. But then, like you just said, we just said education is one thing, but using that education to foment yourself down the street to the goal, that is two different things. And we're not seeing it. You know, even in the juvenile justice system, people are being picked up, these young people thrown in jail, thrown in juvenile hall. And when they're questioned on their line and asked if they know what they did was wrong, and if they know what they did was not going to benefit their life, what are you going to do about that? They don't have any answer. Well, you know, I just did it. I don't know why I did it, but I did it. I don't know what happened to me. I guess I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't know anything about what might have held me back from committing a crime. And law enforcement, I know you have your 38-year background there. They are saying the same thing. These are people, young folk, young people without a direction. Would you agree that having a goal, a purpose in life, is what these young people need as far as directing their life?
Yes, doctor. That's what is missing. I distinctively recall during my law enforcement career, let me use that as an example, The supervisor, a sergeant, when I was a regular patrol officer, would give me an assignment on my beat of crimes that was occurring in certain places on my patrol beat or area, and I was responsible for addressing that particular area, paying special attention to it. So the assignment that my supervisor gave me was a goal, and so my objective was to be able to achieve that goal by reducing or making sure or preventing any crime that had occurred from occurring again or reoccurring. And so I knew that once that I accomplished that, I would position myself to get a favorable performance evaluation and also be in a position where I could get consideration for promotion. And so goals are, no matter what one's work or profession or so forth, the gift may be, goals are the foundation that anchor us, that motivate us, and that encourages us to achieve something that's worthy.
Well, you know, that's both very true, because I'm not the same way. But now, these young folks, You know, if they're living a life with no goals, even old folks, anybody at any age, if they're living a life with no goal, then oops, that means they have no direction. Oops, if they don't have any direction, they really don't know the life course to get on and stay on and, of course, be fruitful. So here we go again talking about this thing called direction. There's a scripture, and I know you really understand this. It's in Jeremiah, I believe, Jeremiah 10:23, that says, "It does not belong to man who is walking upright to direct his own step." So how can we keep that scripture in as far as man not being able, not even knowing how to direct the step? Because I'm thinking that that scripture is saying that they don't know how to have self-direction without this creator. Because, you know, we talk about this all the time. The creator knows his plans and he has carried out his plan. And, of course, mankind was in his plan, and here we are. Do you think that one of the problems in people not having goals or direction is because they're not looking into a higher force, a God force, a whatever spirit force that they might worship? Do you think they're not honoring that force? They're not trying to study and read upon that force as a directive in their life? How important do you think that is?
It's of utmost importance, Dr. Carpentina. I'm reminded of a parallel verse of scripture in the Bible. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So that tells me that there is one that's higher than me, greater than me, greater than you, and greater than others. Whether I want to believe in that or not, that will direct my path, direct my steps, and see that I'm successful if I tap into that power source. And that power source happens to be the creator of the universe. And so we are goal-oriented beings, but our path in life, I've learned, is directed by a higher power, creator. And that creator has a plan. Jeremiah says, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you peace and hope and a prosperous ending or a future ending or a successful ending." And so we have to tap into the source that's responsible for directing our path, and that sets up our goals, that sets up our purpose, that sets up success, that sets up self-worth, that sets up accomplishments, achievement, it sets up prosperity.
My goodness, and everybody's looking for prosperity. So what I'm hearing now is that a person has got to tap into this source, this, as what you called it, a higher power, in order to be able to direct his step in the way of a goal. So this creator God, we'll call him that, what goals did he have in mind at the point of a creative inception? Because we're still talking about what kind of life should I be living? And we're saying that goals are an act of mercy, something built within, without, to keep man on some kind of a track, and also one that can bless a person's life. So with that in mind, should we be interested in this creator as just being part and parcel of us leading a life with a goal that would be pleasing not only to ourselves and neighbors, but to he as well? I think we can.
Definitely, Doc. Without giving a theological discourse, I'm the creator, my understanding in studying the Holy Writ, that the creator created mankind in his image and likeness. And mankind was created in a perfected state, man and woman, in a perfected state. So their offspring, their children, was also in a perfected state. But what happened is that the first man, the first woman, didn't stay the course, didn't stay the path and the goal that the Creator had set for them. And had they stayed the course, mankind today would be living time without end for eternity. We would be ageless. We wouldn't be sick. We wouldn't have want. We wouldn't have need. We wouldn't have lack. We wouldn't have evil in the world. And because the first man and woman got off path of what the Creator had put in place for them and the goal the Creator had set for them, they fell, and therefore mankind fell by the wayside. And so the chaos that we are experiencing now is as a result of that. Of mankind not staying on the path that the Creator has set. That same path still exists, but it's optional, it's voluntary, and we have to decide on free will whether or not we want to tap into that Creator and whether we want to follow that Creator's path or whether we want to do it our way and struggle and possibly perish.
Wow. That is very interesting because now, when a person has a goal, they don't put this goal into activity or action if they think that the end result is that I'm going to perish, I'm not going to be anything, I'm not going to accomplish probably what I want. So that's it. Do you think people should be setting goals with their ending also in mind? Not just what they're doing right now, but do you think they should even have a goal that will take care of their ending?
Absolutely, Doc. And they can do that simply by establishing a goal. A goal is what that is that you want to achieve, you want to accomplish, what you and I have been talking about over the past few minutes. And within the goal now, to achieve the goal, one has to have what is called objectives. Objectives is the things that you will do to that will lead you to achieving or accomplishing the goal. Once you set the objective, you got the goal, you set the objectives in place, the objectives direct you toward the goal, you accomplish the goal, and your end result, your end desire is what you hope that it will be, which is that of success and not failure. And if you lay out a specific goal that is well thought out and good objectives, you'll be able to accomplish the goal. And the goal will be meaningful, it'll be worthwhile, and the end result of the goal will be very gratifying and satisfying to you, perhaps that you have at first established a reasonable goal, a sensible goal, one that can be achieved.
My goodness, and I think everybody is thinking in terms of achieving something. I've even heard people say, you know, my goal is to kill myself because this life ain't what I thought it was. I've heard people, now I'm saying just out of my own mouth, into my own ears. I've heard people say, life is not worth living. I didn't actually come here. This is BS, and I'm checking out of here. People are actually feeling like that. What kind of goals do you think those type of people could even think about putting on the table with that kind of an attitude? It sounds like they're sad and like they missed the mark and like something has happened that has taken all the joy and pleasure out of their heart and their soul. What can we do when we hear things like that? And we're sitting here in our right mind. Well, sure, I'm in my right mind. I'm sleepy, but I think I'm in my right mind. What can we tell people like that?
People like that, Doc, I believe we need to, once we encounter them, meet them, come across them socially, professionally, business-wise, or otherwise, and we realize that they're struggling with the things that you just mentioned, potential suicide, they're struggling with those things. We need to immediately not only embrace them, but get them some assistance or assist them. Talk to them. Start talking to them, encouraging them, and building them up. And then if you find that they need professional counseling assistance beyond that, we can assist them in going with them to help them get them to the proper referral or counseling source that they need, that may be short-term or long-term. But we got to start building people up, because everyone is valuable in the Creator's eyes. He didn't make no junk. Everybody is perfected in His image, we've just gotten off path. We've gotten off course, and I never had the thoughts of ever wanting to do anything myself. Even during the years when I struggled, I knew that if I stayed connected to the Creator, and I knew that if I kept trying, even though I had some struggles, I kept trying toward my goal. That's what I wanted to be. I would eventually succeed, and I would achieve it. And I did, and I used those same simple principles, not only in church. I used it during law enforcement to teach officers that was under my command and under my supervision and leadership, and I do it in life in general. Try to uplift people, encourage people, because they're hurting now, because the foundation was not taught in the family about goals, and it's not being taught in some of the schools, primary and secondary schools and of higher learning. So we got to turn this thing around. We as people got to love people, see they're hurting. We got to start talking to them, encouraging them, telling them we love them. They can do this. They can make it. They are somebody, and they are worth their salt. And we got to start doing that for one another, without regard to race, color, creed, or national origin.
I think so too, because just like you said, everyone is important. If they're here, if they have two ears, two eyes, two legs, or whatever, if they're a human being, that means they're important, and the Creator has something great for them in mind. And if they've crossed our path, we know we are our brother's keeper. So that gives us a great opportunity to show God that we too are in obedience. It gets us an opportunity to show Him that we do want to show that we care for one another. Boy, you just hit this right on the nail. So what I'm hearing is that for a person to live a directed life, he must have a goal in mind. What if a person says, you know, I heard about a goal, some kind of a milestone, but I never practiced putting goals in place. What would be some of the steps that a person could actually do to start on this road of living by a goal, waking up knowing that he has a goal, something in mind for him to do? What could we actually tell a person that really wants to get on this pathway of setting goals, goal setting, using a goal to direct my life? How can they start that when perhaps they never had any goals, never had anything? What can we do? Because we, like you just said, we love people, and we want to encourage them in any way we can, no matter what the increment. What can we tell them as for starting a goal setting program in their life?
I think there have to be incremental steps to begin with, Doc. Use as an example, a baby doesn't learn to walk right away. First, the baby crawls, and after the baby crawls, then the baby is encouraged, and then you help to support the baby that teach the baby to walk, to make a few steps. So what I'm saying is that we have to start on a smaller scale with goals, perhaps on a daily basis. When I woke up this morning, or when they wake up in the mornings, they should decide what they want to do for that particular day. What am I going to do for this day? Okay, I'm up, and by the Creator, by His grace, what is it that I plan to do today, and what would be meaningful that I can do today? So set a goal that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do the other, and then once they start achieving that, and each day start setting daily goals, then eventually they can start projecting out and start setting shorter-term goals rather than daily goals, weekly goals, monthly goals, and then long-term goals, yearly goals, and so forth. And so I think incrementally they have to start off with setting what it is they want to do within the day that they're in. and then they can build their base and understand that once they accomplish those things during that daily day, then they can work on longer term things that they can achieve and so forth.
So anyway, this sounds like a tough type of a program. It sounds like something that is doable, but what if a person has associates or friends that are hanging around with no goals and they're trying to pursue a life of goal setting so that they can have a directed life? What if they have these cohorts and associates and so-called friends hanging around just with nothing to do and they're not thinking about a goal? How can they do anything or be anything like that?
A preacher once said to me before I became a preacher, it was my pastor, and I mean this respectfully and not offensively, but he said, if you sleep with dogs, you're going to get fleas on you. So we have to disconnect. We have to disassociate ourselves from people who are not going anywhere, who's not accomplishing anything, not achieving anything, people that are keeping us at their level. We got to embrace and grab on and hold on to people who we see that are doing meaningful things, and that will encourage and inspire us to do meaningful things, because people that don't want to do anything, they're not on their path, and they will end up coming, being born, going through life, not achieving anything, dying, and not having achieved any significance according to that which the Creator set forth for them to do. Not having no impact in life.
Wow. That's very interesting, because there's been reports of even parents telling college-bound students, oh, you don't need to go to college. You don't have to try to become the greatest man on earth. Just be yourself. And what is just be yourself? A person has to understand who they are in order to even think about being themselves. But what if you have those kind of forces standing in the way of a goal that you know should be accomplished and could be accomplished, something that you know you should be doing? What should you do about a family even standing in your way of setting a goal?
Doc, I'm a believer that there's an inner voice within us that has been inputted into man and woman by the Creator. And if I see something, we know what is good, we know what is bad, we know what is right, we know what is wrong. And if I see something that's not registering well with me, and I'm not comfortable with it, then whatever it is, may it be a person, may it be a friend, may it be a family member, may it be an object, I'm not going to keep myself connected, associated, or tied to anything or any person of that nature, because that's going to hold me back and I will not achieve anything, not even the simplest of things in life. And so we got to recognize that there are people that don't want nothing. They're mundane, they're status quo, and they just want to go through life humdrum, gleaning off of other people. We have to disconnect, disassociate, separate ourselves from those kind of people if we want to succeed and pursue a worthwhile goal.
Yikes, and that means mama, daddy, husband, wife, whoever, your granddaughter, whoever. It means a great disconnection. Colonel Harrison, we've had such a good time this morning. I mean, this is a show of a lost show, because it's very enjoyable, and I know people heard something today that is going to run them to their bed or their desk to write some goals down on a piece of paper and say, this day, right now, today, I'm starting a life that is going to be governed by goals, because I want to be directed. I'm tired of the life I'm living. I'm tired of acting crazy. I'm tired of not having everything I know I should, because I have not set any goals. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison, again. You know, you're just such a lively stone on the show, and you have such good answers all the time. I mean, I love our conversation. You have been listening to the Dr. Cupertino Show with Colonel William Harrison. He's written a book telling people how to get out of chaos, you know, with the solution. Thank you. He will be talking about his book, An Extensivity next week. Thank you, and we look forward to hearing, seeing, and hoping you call in on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Have a great weekend.